This is an encore edition of the Hour of Intercession.
But in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalm, to begin with Psalm 23, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Then skipping to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. All of Revelation, chapter 1. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Thank you for being our King of kings and our Lord of lords. Father, you're sovereign over all people, all nations, all things. And thank you, Lord, for the work you've called us to as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to go and make disciples, and to point the world to you, to your word, and our precious Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be faithful, to be about your business every single day. Help us to live with ears to hear, and eyes to see what you want us to hear, what you want us to see. And help us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Just a reminder, an ongoing reminder to you that we're encouraging you to take time to visit the AFA Resource Center, where you find lots of books and other items and products that will help to equip you as a warrior in the kingdom of God, as God uses you to both help spread the gospel, to help make disciples, and help believers to become a transformative voice in our culture. This is a marketplace to inform, equip, and activate individuals and families to transform America. Visit the AFA Resource Center by going to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. AFA Resource Center is a ministry of the American Family Association. We're honored and blessed to have in studio today Joy Lucius. Joy is the author of the novel Rose and Odette, as well as obviously Joy also is one of the writers with the AFA Journal. But it's my first privilege of having Joy on the broadcast. Joy, good to have you today.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Brother Joseph.
Well, honored to have you. And, of course, you write a lot. But this recently, the book actually was published and finished. And we're going to talk today about a book that Joy has written, a novel entitled Rose and Odette, Unknown Children of the Holocaust. So I'm going to ask you, Joy, if you'll just further introduce yourself, but then let's get right into sharing about just your journey in writing this unique book.
Thank you so much. And I really do have to say thank you, Brother Joseph. When I think about people that I would call on to pray for me, you would be one of the first. So I just feel honored that you would have me here today. And this really has been an amazing, amazing experience for me. When I think about being a writer, I really don't think about myself as a writer, even though I get to write every day and they actually publish my writing. That's just amazing to me, in the AFA Journal and on the blog, our blog, The Stand. But before that, in my heart, I'm a school teacher, and I was a Mississippi public school teacher for 23 years. It was the joy of my life, and I really felt like it was what God called me to do. And all the years that I taught English, literature, and creative writing, and I always loved teaching literature that was about our history and our past. And I always, as a Christian, tried to incorporate and help my students to seek Christ. I know we can't constantly speak about Jesus in public schools, but we can definitely live our lives for Jesus. And so I would always teach about the Holocaust, that period of World War II when the entire world came to a standstill and fought evil and hatred in the form of Hitler and his army. And I thought I knew a lot about it, Brother Joseph. I really did. I thought I was pretty well versed in it. And one day, about 2 years ago, we had a visitor from the Unknown Child Foundation, which is a Holocaust foundation near Memphis. And I got to do the interview because our editor, Mr. Randall, knows I do love history. And in that interview, Miss Diane McNeil invited me to come see the museum. And so I went back to my desk and I started researching, and I found lots of pictures of children, 1.5 million children to be exact, who were murdered in the Holocaust because they were Jewish, just because they were Jewish believers. Mm-hmm. And But one picture kept standing out to me, so much so that I would just look at it and kind of stare at it. And I printed it off and I took it home, showed it to my grandchildren, my 16-year-old granddaughter. And I kind of told her, I said, I feel like I'm supposed to do something with this picture. I feel like God's leading me to write a book. But I told her, I'm like, Emma, I don't know enough to write a book. And I'm a Christian. I'm not a Jew. This is not my sacred story. I just don't feel led. And she said the most, you know how kids are, they can just cut right to the chase. She said, but Yaya, if God told you to write it, then you have to write it. So that was my commission.
The truth shall set you free.
I know. That was my commission from a 15-year-old student, which is kind of ironic that God would use a 15-year-old, because that's pretty much who I always taught, 9th and 10th graders. Mm-hmm. So he used my own people to rebuke me and to set me straight. And so I went to visit the Holocaust Museum.
Now, where again is this museum?
Well, it's actually right now it's just an exhibit. They're building a new museum, but the exhibit is in the DeSoto County Museum. Mm-hmm. So we went to visit. We're treated like royalty. My sister and I toured, and when it was all finished, it was a very moving tour, and when it was all finished, we were standing there, and the curator said, we forgot to turn on the sound system for you. And so the architect went to the office to get some little recorders so we could just listen to a portion of what is constantly played in the background. And it's just a background of names, just names of kids. There are 1.5 million names, and on this one soundtrack, it's about 300 of those children. Mm-hmm. And they... A rabbi and a student from a synagogue in Jerusalem, they just say these names over and over in a very kind of low, monotonous tone to add to the atmosphere of the tour. But they couldn't get it to work, Brother Joseph. And I could tell that the architect was getting very frustrated, and he kind of just paused, and I could see that he was going to say, never mind. And about that time... the recorder came on, and it said, Rose Abalafia, 1932 to 1944. Odette Abalafia, 1936 to 1944. Well, I just screamed. I said, stop, stop, you have to stop. And my sister helped me because she knew what I was doing. I was trying to fumble and get that picture of those two little girls out of my purse. Stop and think about that. 300 names on that recorder out of 1.5 million possibilities. Mm-hmm. And I only heard two names that day. Mm-hmm. And those two names were the names of the little girls whose picture was shoved into my purse with an admonition from my granddaughter. Mm-hmm. So we got the picture out. We all stood there and cried and we prayed. Mm-hmm. These people that I never met, we just prayed because we knew it was a sacred moment. And I knew from that moment on that I had to write this story.
Mm-hmm. And so the pictures had those two girls' names on the picture?
Yes. It was a picture from, I believe it's the Yad Vashem Holocaust website, where people can put memorial pictures of their family members that were killed. And so there's literally millions of pictures. But I found that one picture. And it's actually the picture that's on the front cover of our book. Mm-hmm. So if you go to the Resource Center and you look, you'll see their picture on the front of the cover.
Mm-hmm. And it's featured also on the AFA Journal as well for the July issue. Sure is. Mm-hmm.
It is. Hannah Harrison wrote a moving story about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, if someone is thinking to themselves, well, they're intrigued about the idea and they want to get the book, where's the best place to get the book?
It is at the Resource Center. And right now, that's really the only place, unless you happen to be visiting the Unknown Child Foundation. I think they're selling some. Mm-hmm. But it's, right now, it is solely available at the AFA store.
Okay, that's resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. If you'd like to get a copy of the book, Rose and Odette, Unknown Children of the Holocaust then. So go right ahead then. So.
It has really impacted me. It really has.
We're going to pick up there on the other side of the break here. Then our in-studio guest today is Joy Lucius. She's the author of the book Rose and Odette, Unknown Children of the Holocaust. We'll be right back. Song God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our in-studio guest today is Joy Lucius. She's a writer for the AFA Journal, and she's the author of the book Rose and Odette, Unknown Children of the Holocaust. Joy, as we begin this segment, before you pick back up with your story, would you pray for listeners to really have ears to hear what the Lord would have them to hear? Because just like you, when you first started this whole journey, God didn't just want you to admire a picture. He had a lot more for you to do. And when we hear of stories like this, God has assignments for all of us,
and
it's for us to listen and follow through. Would you pray for listeners in that way?
Father God, thank you so much that you do love us and you do speak to us constantly. And Lord, as you speak, give us ears to hear and eyes to see, but Lord, also give us hearts to obey and the strength and the courage to do what you call us to do. The Bible says, whom he calls, he equips. And even though we may feel in our humanness that we're not equipped, you are able. You are more than enough. And so, Lord, whatever it is, whatever small job, whatever large job, whether it's just even just calling somebody and encouraging them and loving them, or that person that you meet in the grocery store or at a restaurant, and you know in your spirit that they need to be encouraged and to feel the love of God, Lord, help us to obey instantly, because obedience is better than sacrifice. You are faithful, Lord, and your faithfulness to bless those who bless your people is immense, Lord. It's unmeasurable, immeasurable. So thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your faithfulness. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, if you'll just pick up where you left off in your story there.
So that was the beginning, Brother Joseph. And as a school teacher, as an avid reader, as a creative writing teacher, I thought, oh, great, this is going to be a great assignment. I know a lot about the Holocaust. I can get started. So I took that one picture, and everybody in the journal and everybody in my family, we began to research Rose and Odette Abalafia, but there was nothing to find. Nothing. There was one picture of them. There was a picture of their father, Marco, their mother, Rose. And I knew that they had all lived in Paris, France, and died in Auschwitz in 1944. That was it. I went to the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum's website, which is the best source of information for that time period in America. I went to Yad Vashem in Jerusalem, which is the premier source of information on the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. And I could find nothing. I got to the point where I was like, well, okay, now, Lord, I know I heard from you, mm-hmm. and I know I'm doing what you called, but I'm stuck.
You mentioned, just real quick, you mentioned the word Auschwitz. Tell our listeners, what is Auschwitz?
Well, Auschwitz is a death camp. During World War II, Hitler and the Nazi army literally had plans to take over the world. And in the meantime, their sub-objective was to annihilate every Jew from the face of the earth. Mm-hmm. And so they accomplished a great deal in that. They killed 6 million Jews. Mm-hmm. And so as time began, there were hundreds of camps where they transported Jewish people or anyone who came against their protocols. They transferred them via train, via cattle cars, literally packed in to cattle cars, to these camps in remote towns and villages throughout Europe. Mm-hmm. And one was at Auschwitz-Birkenau, and it literally was the largest death camp of that time. And by the end of the war, by the time that Rose and Odette came through, literally, I found out very quickly from a book written about children of the Holocaust that they got off the train. Mm-hmm. They marched in a muddy, nasty line with huge dogs barking at them and guards beating them. And they were separated by men and women. And then as the separation grew, as it progressed, they were separated by those who were able to work and those who couldn't. And those who were not viable workers, they went straight to gas chambers. Mm-hmm. And they were packed into these gas chambers under the auspice, under the lie that we're going to give you a shower. And mm-hmm. they did give them a shower with a chemical called Zyklon B, which was a gas that would be released into these packed chambers. And they would poison and kill these people, and they would die, and then they would burn their bodies in ovens and bury the ashes. Mm-hmm. And so by 1944, when Hitler knew he was losing the war, they were doing it as fast as they could. No mm-hmm. more time for pretense. Get them off the train. Get them to the gas chambers. We're going to kill them.
And, you know, Joy, just to interrupt for just a moment, it's one of the powerful things about tragically just really describing what that process mm-hmm. was about. Again, one of the tragedies is there are many Americans who've never heard. They deny the Holocaust, say it didn't happen. But many of them hear the word, they don't know what was really done.
They really don't.
Many don't realize that people in mass numbers were murdered in a very tragic and a very ugly and sad way. And the question that should come to the minds of many people is, why? Well, again, Satan is behind the destruction of people. His job description in John 10:10, the thief comes not before to steal and to kill and destroy. That's right.
And he had a heyday during those years. Mm-hmm. And I cannot imagine what it would be like to just be a working family who, you know, you a lot of these families, they were very religious, very normal, just everyday families, and they would be packed into these cattle cars with hundreds and hundreds of other people, and in one instant, their life would be forever changed. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, from everything we could see on all these legitimate websites, that entire family died. Mm-hmm. So I was at a standstill, and one morning I came to work, and we prayed I love working at AFA because you can just pray together. Of course, we always have devotion in the morning. Then we go back to our departments. And I just confessed. I was like, I'm stuck. And so we prayed. And honestly, I saw another picture had been added to their memorial page. And it was a picture of them older. And it really didn't look like them. It was like 2 or 3 years later, and it didn't look like them. And so it had a name underneath it of the person who had placed it on the website. And it was Jean-Luc A. So I'm thinking Jean-Luc Abalafia. So I had a clue. So I started going to Facebook and Twitter and all these places. And I literally, it's a very unusual name. So I literally found hundreds of people all over the world. And I just started sending them a generic message. You know, do you know Rose and Odette? Were they part of your family? And I got some crazy answers, Brother Joseph. But I also met some amazing people. I even met a history professor. And he told me that he had never heard of them, but he gave me all the history of the Abalafia family. He told me where to go. I traced it back to Turkey. And he gave me the name of a man in Florida who had a huge, extensive family tree. So the clues just began to pile up and pile up and pile up, but no Rose and Odette. Every person that I met, they were so helpful. They would give me clues, but it still didn't come together. So finally, I looked up this man online, and I emailed him, and I just prayed, and I just did a terse little short little email and just said, hey, I'm writing a story about Rose and Odette Abalafia. If you know anything, could you please let me know? And in a few days, he wrote me back another really short reply, because I think he probably thought I was crazy too, and he said they were my aunts. And I thought, no, they're not your aunts, because they and their parents died. So I began to show him the information I had, and just all of a sudden he began to trust and began to share. And just a month back, his father had died. And when his father died, he found a suitcase with their family pictures, their family stories. And so really and truly, Rose and Odette had two brothers, Leon and David, who were teenagers, and they escaped Paris in the bottom of a city dump truck. Imagine that. To be 15 and 17 years of age, the Salvation Army got them out right before their family was destroyed in a garbage truck. But after the war, here are 15 and 17-year-old boys, and they had no one. They had no family. So their immediate response was, let's change our name. Let's become somebody else. And so Jean-Luc told me that all of his life, his dad would say, the best Jew is a hidden Jew. And so he just never really told their story. Jean-Luc said that one picture that's on the cover of the book sat on a table in their foyer all their life, but he never knew the stories of his aunts. And so God has just done an amazing thing, and he's still doing it, Brother Joseph. He is just, it's amazing to me, and it all came out of just that just one moment of saying, yes, Lord, I will. I don't know where it's leading me, but I will.
And so you wrote the book as basically historical fiction, I guess would be the
word. It is historical fiction, but it's unique because I didn't know a lot about them. I'm never going to know a lot about them. All I have are the pictures, the papers, and the letters from Jean-Luc's suitcase. And so he and I both agreed it was going to have to be fictional. But because the story came from an unknown child, I decided to kind of create a dual story. There's a fictional story of two young girls in modern day Mississippi, and they learn about the true story of Rose and Odette Abalafia through a project that Unknown Child does called the Priceless Pennies Project. Mm-hmm. And it's a real project. Mm-hmm. It started with two teachers back in 2009 in Horn Lake Middle School, and they were doing exactly what you were talking about. They were teaching their kids about the Holocaust, and their kids had no clue. Mm-hmm. And it was not sticking. They were not getting it. So finally, in frustration, one of the teachers said, "Do you not understand what 1.5 million children would look like?" And the kids just kind of stared at her. And so she said, "Imagine 1.5 million pennies. Mm-hmm. How much room would that take?" Mm-hmm. And so her kids began to collect pennies. And over a period of 4 years, even though after they were in high school, and they still kept collecting pennies. Mm-hmm. And they got a huge homeschool network involved with them. And mm-hmm. it took 4 years, but they collected 1.5 million pennies, one for each child. Mm-hmm. So that story is incorporated in the true story is incorporated in a fictional sense. So mm-hmm. it's different. It's unique. Mm-hmm. But probably 90% of the information about Rose and Odette is truthful.
Mm. And so it takes a true historical context, and you've used a fictional story to help communicate a critically important message for people that people need to hear.
And that message to me is so plain. It's in Psalm 139:14 when God said, the psalmist says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Brother Joseph, we forget that. We forget that each of us, I don't care what we do for a living, I don't care where we've been and the mistakes we've made and the sins we've committed, we are precious in the eyes of God, and mm-hmm. every soul matters to Him. And so I think that is what I wanted to share with my readers. And mm-hmm. as a teacher, that's what I always wanted to share with my students. You are priceless. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that Rose and Odette helps teach that. Mm-hmm. But I really feel led today to pray when we come back. Maybe we can pray for public school teachers.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll pick up on the other side. Our in-studio guest today is Joy Lucia. She's a writer with the AFA Journal and the author of the book, Rose and Odette, Unknown Children of the Holocaust. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. In the book of Psalm 83, verses 1 through 5, tell us these words. "Do not keep silent, O God. Do not hold your peace, and do not be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make a tumult, and those who hate you have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, 'Come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be remembered no more.' For they have consulted together with one consent. They form a confederacy against you. Verses 1 through 5 of Psalm 83. Father, more and more, stir us as your church to be a church that seeks to see things through your eyes and seeks to hear from your word continually. Help us to live with ears to hear as you guide and direct us to be the salt and the light in the world, pointing the world toward the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and pointing them away from darkness that would cause them to come up with wicked and ugly and destructive schemes towards one another, towards people, to destroy them. Help us to know, Lord, you've called us to spread the gospel all over the world, to be your ambassadors, and to point them again to Jesus. Help us to be faithful to do that each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Our in-studio guest today is Joy Lucius. She's a writer with the AFA Journal and the author of the book, Rose and Odette, Unknown Children of the Holocaust. Okay, I'll let you pick up where you left off there, Joy.
Well, the story has just really been a journey for me. Meeting them in that miraculous moment, then researching and having to truly depend on God. But then when it came time to write the story, my heart was for teachers. It probably always will be. My parents were teachers, my grandparent. And so my heart was for teachers. They just came out of the hardest year, probably, of their teaching careers. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't look a whole lot better on the horizon this year for them. And so I just have such a burden to pray for them because, you know, we hear so many negative things. But honestly, Brother Joseph, in my 23 years of teaching, overwhelmingly, the majority of the teachers I met were called by God to do what they were called to do. Now, I know I may live in a different environment than some people, but I'm here to tell you that the teachers I worked with taught because God brought them there. And so I just want to pray for them as they begin this year and remind them that, like this story teaches us, teachers can truly change the world for Christ. Mm-hmm. And they don't ever have to mention the name of Jesus. All they have to do is teach through him and teach by living and letting him live in them. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to pray for them, if you don't.
Okay.
Lord, I thank you that as it gets close to the beginning of our public school years, and we even have homeschool moms that have already started back, Lord, I just ask that you bless our teachers, our American teachers. Lord, we are standing at a time in our history, a pivotal time in history. And Lord, if you don't save us, we will fall. And so, Lord, I ask that you empower our teachers to keep on standing and be in that breach in the wall, Lord. For some students, a Christian teacher is the only face of Christ they will ever see. And so, Lord, I just ask that you empower them, you assure them, you equip them, and, Lord, you just give them peace to know that this year, if they give it to you, that you will help them to be more than conquerors. So, Lord, I thank you for that, and I thank you that in you we are one. We are all the body of Christ. And, Lord, remind us to help and to undergird our teachers. If you know one, you know, Lord, just help remind listeners, if they know someone who teaches and they're getting ready for this new year, to pray for them and to help them, to reach out and encourage them. And I thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Joy, in this last segment, what would you say, what would you share would be the call to action, the challenges you'd lay before believers as it relates to really taking some of the insights you picked up through your journey? What are you encouraging believers in the church to do?
The number one thing, I think, is to step back a minute and recognize that the past will repeat itself unless we learn from it and we allow Christ to do something different in us. And so we are appalled here in 2021 and we look back 80 years and we look back at the what happened in Germany, and we cannot imagine why people in the near the town of Auschwitz and all those places allowed, Brother Joseph, their children played in the ashes as it fell from the sky of the burning bodies. Their children went outside and played in the ashes. Mm-hmm. And we're appalled at that. Why didn't they do something? Those were Christians. Many of them were Christians. Why didn't they do something to stop it? And mm-hmm. we cannot understand that. But yet, here we sit in America, and as of this morning at 9:05 a.m., I looked it up. We have now, since 1973, since we legally instituted abortion in our nation, we have willfully killed, mm-hmm. and we have, as a nation, helped pay for the murder of 62,984,618 babies. That's almost 63 million babies. That's 10 times the number of people that Hitler killed. 10 times. Mm. And we can't understand how the Christian world and the church allowed that. But yet, here we are allowing it. Mm-hmm. This year alone, 500,000 babies have already been murdered. Mm. And, you know, a lot of times we use the excuse of, well, if we do away with abortion, what about the people who have endured rape or incest? Do you know how many people this year have had abortions and because of rape and incest? Out of those almost 500, out of those 500,000 babies, only one one-thousandth of those babies were the result of incest or rape. One one-thousandth of that number.
Extremely small percentage.
It is. And yet we use that as our excuse to do nothing. We use that in the church. I hear so many of my friends say that. Well, you know, it's up to the people. And what if your daughter was raped, or what if she had experienced incest? Well, you know, the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Mm-hmm. And I heard a visitor this week to AFA talk about how she was an adoption. She was a child of adoption, mm-hmm. and it took her half her life to realize she was not a mistake. She was not a cleanup on aisle 9. God knew her before she was formed, and He had a plan and a purpose for her life.
That's right.
And so we are in the middle of an absolute worldwide Holocaust, and we're doing mm-hmm. nothing about it, nothing whatsoever, mm-hmm. as a church. And so that's what, for me, it made me stop and realize that I have a part to play in telling the story about the Nazis' Holocaust, because I don't want to repeat that. Mm-hmm. And Brother Joseph, right now, if you look at the world, religious persecution and hate crimes are up 60%. Mm-hmm. But who's to say that the next time that the trains come, that it's not going to be for Christians rather than Jews?
That's right.
So I just think we have to stop and realize that we have a part to play, and that we need to do something to stop the Holocaust that's going on right now.
That's right. That's right. You know, in our last few moments, Joe, I want to share just a short portion of an article that I wrote entitled Holocaust, which, again, really dovetails powerfully with the message you've shared today. Again, the title, the Holocaust is the title of the article that was on the AFA stand. January 27, 2021 was International Holocaust Remembrance Day. It was a day to remember the tragic loss of 6 million Jewish lives during World War II. The goal is to stop prejudice and hatred from taking root in our world in the years to come. Eight decades after the Holocaust, people worldwide paused to remember and honor the memory of Europe's Jews who had been targeted for destruction. One clear goal of Holocaust Remembrance Day is to see to it that this kind of tragedy never happens again in our world. Tragically, this goal has not been accomplished. Sadly, another Holocaust is taking place in our world right now. This Holocaust is called legalized abortion. It began in 1973 in the landmark Supreme case Roe v. Wade. Like the horrific Holocaust of Europe that happened during World War II, this one also singles out a certain population, the World War II Holocaust singled out Jewish people and certain other groups. The present-day Holocaust singles out children in the womb. Jews from all over Europe were shipped in cattle cars to concentration camps where there was no escape. Likewise, in today's Holocaust against the unborn, there's no escape from the murderers. Children in the womb can't run away, they can't hide, nor can they protest the world on their own behalf. These children are at the mercy of their mothers. How tragic it is that we live in a world so deceived and misled that the very ones charged to love, care for, and protect the unborn are the ones who are choosing to have them murdered. Hitler's Holocaust ended with the close of World War II. Praise God that it did come to an end. But by the time it had ended, more than 6 million Jewish people had been murdered. Tragically, the present-day Holocaust of abortion is still going on. And for time reasons, I'll stop there, though. But Joy, in our last few minutes, any other thoughts of encouragement you want to share to challenge believers to know that we need to both remember the tragedy of the Holocaust of World War II, but we need to get involved with addressing and overcoming the Holocaust going on today?
Well, the main thing that I think we should remember is this is our moment. This is our time. Mm-hmm. For such a time as this, we were born. God knew exactly when He was placing us in the earth. And this is our moment. The uncertainty that our world is in right now, the things that we see, abortion, hate crimes, the disunity of the body, all those things are opportunities. Mm-hmm. They're just waiting for the miraculous touch of God. And in an instant, He can change disunity into unity. He can bring life from death, and He can place love in the hearts of people who hate. So right. I think our first job is to pray, mm-hmm. and our second job is to have ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to obey what He calls us to do in our prayer time. That's Amen. A scary thing, mm-hmm. but He has equipped us.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Joy. Thank you so much. And thank you again for being with us today. In our closing moments, as usual, if there's someone listening who's never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to give you the opportunity to make that all-important step in all of life. The most important decision is the decision to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior. If you want to make that step, would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world, you lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. I repent and turn from that wrong. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrongs I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Help me to live my whole life for you. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, we invite you, please do email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd like to share with you some literature that'll help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your walk with the Lord. We hope to hear from you. Joy, thank you so much for being
with
us today.
Thank you.
And again, the title of Joy's book is Rose and Odette, Unknown Children at the Holocaust. You can get it from the AFA bookstore. Hope you'll take time to do that again. Go to resources.afa.net to get it. Hope you'll take the time to do that. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.